Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
Invite you guys to open up to the book of Ruth, if you feel so led, if you feel so excited about it. I do. It's the funniest thing. So my wife, we're trying to get away from this handheld thing so that we can, you know, work, hold the Bible and speak and stuff. I'm just not that cool. I had this thing on for, I put it on this morning, and it just kept falling off my ear. So it's very good to know that Pastor Matt's just not a cool dude. He just can't keep these things in his ear. I'm very humbled by this kind of stuff because it's like, does this really even matter? Gee, what is my morning for church is about my, does the thing fit on my ear? Very silly stuff. Anyways, I am excited about today's message. We are in the book of Ruth because good thing I have a wife that reminds me that we are in Mother's Day month, okay, men? This is a little secret. I'm letting you into some secret stuff here. It's Mother's Day month, and so we were, yeah, it's like I thought it was the first 6 months at our house is what it feels like, but anyways, and then the second half we'll talk, it's probably going to be the same. Anyways, Book of Ruth, we are going to talk about the book of Ruth this whole month, but I am excited to just point out what I feel like I'm going to point out this morning, how God used this woman, Ruth, for his kingdom, for his glory, to show us who he is even now, like current stuff. This is old school stuff. How is it current and relevant to us? I think the Holy Spirit's going to show us something this morning, and I'm excited about that. Are you guys good with that? Yeah. I want to hear a word from God. I want to hear the Holy Spirit speak. So I am going to start reading. We're in Ruth 1. I'm going to read the whole chapter, so bear with me. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah, and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out to the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you the kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me. At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman exclaimed, can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So Naomi returned to Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it pierces through anything that we've got going on. That your word will cut literally through anything that this world has to throw at us. And so that's our prayer this morning, Lord, that you would, Holy Spirit, pierce through our mess, through our thinking, through our hearts, and speak to us. Because our ultimate desire this morning is to be more like you, Jesus. We want to be taught by you. We want to be loved by you. We want to look, smell, and taste like you, Jesus. This is what we want. This is why we're here. Speak to us, O God. Your servants are attentive and listening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So the title of today's message is God's in the Business of Redeeming a Misstep. Has anyone ever had a mishap, a misstep, done something wrong, wish you could do it over? Any redos in here? Man, I wish I could have that over. Okay, just me, I guess. I stepped into something I never should have stepped into. I went the direction that I should have never went. Even though there's loved ones that were telling me, that were loving on me, helping to guide me, I still made a misstep. Can God redeem that? I want to take a look at a few things real quick that will answer that question. Because we've all misstepped, and we're going to misstep again. So we need to know in our heart of hearts, can God redeem that? All right, I want to take a quick look at Matthew chapter 1, 5, and 6. Now, this is just a quick couple of verses, and it's in regards to the genealogy of Jesus. Where is Jesus coming from? Where is the Savior of the world coming from? Where did he stem from? So verse 5 says, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Who are we talking about today? Ruth. Okay, his mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. I want to pause there, because this is a very important thing to know. That from Ruth comes King David, King Solomon, King Jesus. We got to have facts. Pastor Matt will talk and he'll say stuff that's not really facts. This is facts. Ruth, King David, King Solomon, King Jesus. Okay. Why is this important, Pastor? I want to see where the misstep is. There was a misstep that we read in the book of Ruth. And I want to take a look at, was there a misstep? And what happened because of this misstep? Was there a bad decision made? And how did God react to this? Was there a punishment? Was there forgiveness? I want to look at this. How is God's heart for us? According to the Old Testament law of God, Moabite women were generally not allowed to marry Israelite men. This restriction is found in Deuteronomy 23:3. And that says, no Ammonite or Moabite or any of their descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, not even in the 10th generation. Not even in the 10th generation, which means no. This is a law. Like, this is not going to happen. God is telling his people, you do not marry in this group of people. You don't. Don't do it. It would be the equivalent of today. If God just said to us, white man, don't marry a black woman. Like, what? Or that's against my law. You will not be blessed. You will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, we all know that's a lie. Okay? Because we're all people. But there's a law back then saying, you people do not marry these people. It's a law. And how do we know? Because I just read it. It's in the Bible. Facts. No Ammonite or Moabite or any other descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, not even in the 10th generation. Never. Don't. Are we clear? You guys understand that? Okay. This prohibition was based on historical and cultural reasons, as well as concerns about maintaining the purity of the Israelite community and preventing the influence of foreign gods and practices. However, it's worth noting that individual circumstances and interpretations may have varied, and exceptions could potentially be made depending on specific circumstances or really divine intervention. Divine intervention is the only thing that would make this happen. It was a law. It could not happen. This being said, nothing good was going to come out of the situation of Mahlon marrying Ruth. Nothing. Because it broke God's heart. He had rules, expectations. He's the dad. His kids were breaking his heart, breaking the law, not following his commands, his decree. Have you ever broken the rules? Have you ever gone against what the Word of God says? Have you ever? This is not a good situation. What did Mahlon do? What did Naomi do? Allowing her kids to marry these Moabite women. What? Wrong. Bad. All right. That's what the world says. We point out the law of God, and we point out and we judge each other. You shouldn't have done that because God said no. And we point the finger at each other, and we tear each other down. Whenever we're pointing the finger at each other, we're not considering ourselves. But God considers all of us. He sees all of us. And my hope this morning is that we're going to capture the heart of God here in this message and see how he turns things around. Because God's in the business of redeeming a misstep. Yes? You guys with me? All right. Point one, I want to talk about God sees our hearts. I think this is important for us to know that we have maybe misstepped a little bit. We have gone down paths that we maybe should not. Maybe some of us have married a Moabite. Just a metaphor. We've done something. We've all married a Moabite. But God sees our hearts. I like this verse 16 that we read. It says, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. I feel like God sees her heart. God actually not only sees her heart, God was in her heart. God was her heart. And he's showing us what it looks like to stay in a situation that doesn't make sense. This situation was not right. She should have never been married to this man. She shouldn't be going back to Bethlehem with this woman, but she is. She's saying, yes, I'm going to do it. Don't tell me not to. I'm going to do it because there's something that has happened to this woman's heart. Naomi told both Ruth and Orpah to leave and stay where they're comfortable. Stay with their people. Stay with what they know. Stay where you belong. All Ruth knew was that she was not supposed to leave Naomi. All she knew what was in her heart. Something that makes no sense. Orpah didn't have this same call on her life, so she stayed. Because it was a different heart condition than what Ruth was feeling. Ruth just knew in her spirit that she was to stay, even though it wasn't probably what the world was supposed to, you know, the expectation of the world. God recognized the purity of her heart and integrated her into the fabric of his kingdom. And as Christians, I think we're here. I want to ask you this. Have you ever felt like, I'm not going back. I'm not going back to that thing I've been doing. I don't want to go back to the thing I've been doing. I don't want to go back to the thing I used to do. I don't want to go back. I don't feel like I belong in the church necessarily with the Christians that think they have it all together. I don't know, but something greater than myself has called me to the church, so I just, something's drawing me here. I can feel it in my heart. I don't necessarily understand what Pastor Matt says all the time. I don't, but something's drawing me here. I know I'm nothing, but I feel a power inside of me tugging me to a different life than what I'm seeing everyone else do at work, with my friends, at the bar, at the club. There's something going on with me where I'm just not feeling that anymore. And I want to compare that to this feeling of Ruth's heart, that everything said, don't go with Naomi to Bethlehem, stay in Moab. There's something that calls us and says, no, leave your spot where you're comfortable. Leave the way you're living. Leave that and do the uncomfortable. And God is the one that does that to our heart. Like, why do I feel like I should leave the worldly stuff? I kind of like it. It's cool. I should be at the lake today on the boat drinking some beers and getting completely drunk. Shouldn't I? Something happened to my heart. Now I'm here. God has recognized something in you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here. You may know it and you may not know it. I'm telling you. There's only one reason for us to be sitting here this morning in this chilled refrigerator room. Only one reason. God has recognized purity of your heart and is in the process of integrating you into the fabric of his kingdom. We're in process. There's something going on. And some of us are like, not me. Guess what? Yes, you. That's why your butt's in the chair. I just didn't know about it, and I'm here to tell you. I love this quote from Max Lucado. And men, I want you to hear this. I know this is about women and Mother's Day month and la la la. This has to do with a woman. But men, please listen. A woman's heart should be so hidden in God that a man has to seek him to find her. This is very crucial. Women, will you hear me, please? A woman's heart should be so hidden in God that a man has to seek him just to find you. I had to get so close to Jesus, and I went like backdoor stuff too. I did all kinds of bat cave stuff, but I did it. I did what I had to do. But I found Jesus, and I started just serving God with all my heart, and I didn't care about anything else. And one day I was like, oh. And Allison, we were just, All of a sudden, we were doing everything together. I found him, then I found her. Everything else I did before that, I was trying to find her before anything else. I always had this thought in my head, like, I need a ride or die on my side. I need a chick, a side chick, three side chicks. I know, no, you get what I'm saying. That's how I was. I like a woman. I want a woman in my life. The second I stopped thinking about that and just started listening to God and serving, then my woman that God wanted with me was there. I'm not saying that I couldn't have found another chick. Probably. I just don't know that it would have been blessed the way that my life is blessed. That's all. You find somebody. That's easy. Point two. Oh. God sees your heart. Okay? God sees your heart through everything. All right, point two. God sees devotion. Ruth says, "Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." When I read that, I'm just blown away. I'm like, are you kidding? Like, God, Holy Spirit, you are so in this woman's heart. And men, I just want to remind you, if you're coming from a school of thought like, you know, women should just shut up in the church, they just shut up and listen and look cute, that's wrong. God uses women throughout Scripture in such amazing ways. And I'm just blown away when we come and say, women shouldn't speak, women shouldn't teach, women should, and I disagree. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm seeing God use women throughout the Bible. And I love that my wife hears from God and moves accordingly. I'm so attracted to that. And if that's different, then I don't want to be involved. Ruth's decision and her devotion put her in a position to be used by God. When we make the decision, you know what? I'm just going to devote my life. I'm going to give my life away. We put ourselves in a position where God can use us how he wants to use us. We have to get in position. That's part of our job. Get in position. Listen, Ruth became the great-grandmother of King David. That would have never happened if something wasn't going on with her heart. Something happened with her heart that God put her in a position to marry Malon. Even though it looks like it was a bad thing, God used a bad thing for his good. We all know that Jesus comes from the line of David. So this means Jesus comes from the line of Ruth. So I want to remind you today, if you've done something bad, if you've had a misstep, I want you to stop dwelling and beating yourself up over whatever happened in the past and receive God's forgiveness this morning. Stop it. Let it go. God loves you. God is in the business to redeem broken things. God is in the business to heal hurting. God wants to restore you this morning and me. God has called us to a life of devotion. Where you go, Jesus, I will go. Listen, if there is a prayer meeting at our church and you are sitting at home missing the prayer meeting, why? Devote yourself to the life of Jesus. And if you're part of this church, chime in. That's just encouragement, suggestion. I am not beating you down like a, I'm just, what I am sharing with you is what I have done. And the freedom that I have gotten is just because I followed a pattern. So, trust me, I'm not beating this at you. It's a suggestion. Jesus, where you go, I will go. That's my point. If you're at this church, we're saying that we pursue God. We pursue God. We love people. We serve together. Pursuing God. What you pray, Jesus, I will pray. devoting ourselves to God's word. And there's tons of prayers, Old Testament, New Testament. Even Jesus, his disciple says, how do we pray? And then he says, we'll pray like this. But there's prayers throughout. How do we pray? Let's be in the scripture, pursuing God and learning how to talk to God, how to talk to the Father. How you love Jesus, I will love. Jesus shows us throughout scripture, especially I love like a Matthew 5 Beatitudes, literally an outline on how to be, how to love, how to reflect Jesus into this broken world. Why do we want to do this? Why would we do that? I want to do this because I can feel it in my spirit that it's the right thing to do. Ruth says, stop telling me to go back to my family. Stop telling me to go back to my country. Stop telling me to go back. I am not going back. I am devoting myself to you. She's literally showing us a reflection of Jesus and what Jesus teaches us. Stop going back to that thing. That chapter's over because it's now the tugging of your heart is what's going on. And Jesus is tugging and he's saying, I love you. I want you. I want to heal you. I want to restore you. I am going to give you a new, you can be born again. I love how this word is aligned with the fact that Pastor Allison was like, if anyone's interested in getting baptized, talk to us. I don't know if anyone's feeling like that in the room today, but if you are, let's do it. Listen to that tug. Colossians 3:17 says, And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And whatever you do, do it all in the name of Jesus. Whatever you do, whether you get in the car and drive, you go to work and encounter broken people, whether you're sending an email, whether you're on Facebook, Instagram, I don't care what you're doing, do it unto the Lord is what God's word says to do. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Man, we get worship twisted. We think worship's a concert. We want lights. We want smoke. All this is what we need. We need a big church with some fancy stuff. True and proper worship, offer yourself unto the Lord. Ruth offered herself. She says, Naomi, stop it. I am going with you. I am going to die with you. Where you're buried, I will be buried. That's basically saying, I am putting myself on the cross. My life is dead. My life is now yours. I know it sounds drastic, but listen, that's what we do. That's what God is calling us to do. Why on earth would we be in a building this cold on a Sunday morning? Why? Because the Holy Spirit's working on us. The Holy Spirit has called us by name. Bill Johnson says this, God's love is extravagant and relentless. It pursues us even in our brokenness and failures. God's love pursues us in our brokenness. Do you hear that? God's love pursues you in your brokenness. God's love pursues you in your failures. Amen, Matt. That was awesome. Thank you, God. Thank you, Bill Johnson. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That was good. We're going to get Pentecostal in here one Sunday. I know it. I know what's going to happen. We're going to have amens. We're going to have jumping. It's going to get crazy. Regardless of who we think we are or the things we have done in the past, God is calling us to feel his guiding hand on our every breath. Every breath that we take, he's wanting us to feel him and his presence. I want to point this out. Listen, listen. Ruth says, I will stay with you, Naomi. I will stay with you. And I bet in the back of her mind she was wondering, why am I saying this? And God was saying, you will know someday. You'll know someday. Just listen to me. Listen to your heart. And I want to encourage you like this. I want to encourage you to strive for holiness because God is holy. I want to encourage you to set yourselves apart because Jesus was set apart. And I want to say this. You will know why someday. You will know why you've made that decision. It will all make sense. Because what was a misstep, you're going to become the mother of a king. What was the wrong direction, you'll become a great-grandmother of a king. God sees your devotion. I want to close with this. Where'd my wife get? Good. This is perfect timing. Ruth's choice led her to inclusion in the ancestral line of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Her choice left her included in God's big story. It landed her in the Bible. It landed her in the most popular book in the whole world. We all talk about, you know, I see pastors all the time. The thing currently is everyone's writing tons of books. And I'm not a hater. I'll write a book, you know. That sounds cool. We're all writing books. There's one book that we live by. The other stuff's suggestions, and it's fun to read. I love all that stuff. But Ruth's decision landed her in the Bible. And I want to encourage you, the decisions we're making are landing us in the new Testament. It's just not out yet. It'll be out. It'll be out someday. Just like Ruth, God is about to change things around for those that hear the call. I don't know if you hear the call this morning, but if you hear something, God is going to turn your situation around because that's what he's in the business to do. God is in the business of redeeming our missteps. He's in the business of redeeming our bad decisions. He's in the business of healing what's going on with you this morning. Amen.